Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about an attorney and a nurse, and they were married to each other. Their last name was Garrison. We'll talk to their son, Roger, right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about people, places, and things in our county. On today's program, we're going to be talking about an attorney and a nurse, and they happen to be married to each other and lived here in Jessamine County and was very significant in our community. Their last name, Garrison. His was Brad, hers was Billy, and today we have their son, Roger, with us. We're going to talk about Brad and Billy Garrison. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Doug.
Appreciate you coming in as we learn a little bit more about your folks. You know, I knew your dad, but I didn't know him as well as I did your mom. And I think my most prominent memory of her is playing the piano for Vacation Bible School at Edgewood Baptist Church. Now, I'm going back a few years on that one. But she played piano, and I think she taught Sunday school also, and I may have been in one of her classes.
She sure did. In fact, she started when we moved to town at Nicholasville Baptist.
Yeah,
she played for the Sunday school opening assembly and worked in Bible school, and I think maybe played the piano there in Bible school. And then when we later moved to Edgewood, she became active there.
Well, we'll start with your dad, and we'll talk about with each of them where they came from and what they did in their lives, how they got together and all that. So tell us a little bit about Brad now. Where was he born, and how did he come to be here?
Well, he was born in Lexington to Nathan Garrison, who was a developer. He helped develop the Chevy Chase Park area and the Ashland Park area, and that's where my father was born. When he was born there, my grandmother said it was so far out in the county that she had to keep a shotgun beside her in bed.
At that time, I guess, it's kind of like the old New Circle being a dirt road. It wasn't like it is now, so Chevy Chase was a far piece, I guess.
Well, and then later out in Ashland Park, they built one of the first houses out there. And
wow.
Grandmother was scared and had her gun beside her. But he was raised there in Lexington and was in UK when the war came along. And he was in the ROTC program, so he went into the Army as a lieutenant and led a group of boys a couple of years younger than him up the boot of Italy.
Really?
And he was wounded twice in World War II, once in Italy and once in North Africa, and received two Purple Hearts. Thankfully, came home safely.
Now, I know he was an attorney. Had he done any of that education-wise prior to military, or was military fresh out of high school?
He was at UK working on his degree in commerce.
Oh, okay.
He went into the war.
Now, had he met your mother at that time?
Not at that time.
All right, so we're still got to go down the road for that. So he goes across the water. He luckily comes back home wounded but alive, which is the best thing. And did at that point in time decide to go back to school?
Yes, he decided at that time to continue his work toward his law degree. And it was at UK where he met my mother following the war.
Now, when he came back, something, I guess, had to tell him go to law instead of continue with commerce. Maybe idea or just that was what to do, I guess.
That's what he did.
That's what he did. All right. So he's at UK, and he walked down the street one day and puts his eye on this lady and is like, oh, my gosh. And there stood Billy. Now, tell us where she was born, how she came about.
Well, she was born in Sturgis, Kentucky, and lived in Owensboro. Mm-hmm. And her father was a Baptist minister. And so they moved around a bit when she was younger. But she was in Evansville, Indiana, at nursing school when the war broke out. Mm-hmm. And she went into the service as an Army nurse and served in the Philippines.
Oh, they still didn't know each other at this time.
Still didn't know each other at that
time. He's in Italy, she's in the Philippines, as a nurse.
Yes.
So she'd already gotten her degree by that time, I guess.
Nurses training. Sorry, she hadn't completed her nurse's training, but it was enough for the Army.
For the Army. Now, how long was she in the Philippines?
I think a couple of years, and it was toward the end of the war because her job was to receive the soldiers who were coming home wounded.
Oh.
And they would stop there in the Philippines and have their rehab and rehabilitation, and
okay.
Mom was directly responsible for their care while they were there. In fact, there was one airman who had mistakenly walked into a prop plane. And the mom and the other nurses were given an award because of the level of rehabilitation that they provided for that fellow.
Wow.
There was another prisoner of war that came through the Philippines, and he couldn't understand why they were treating him so nicely.
because of the way he'd been treated, I guess.
But they nursed him back to health there. That was one of her favorite stories, that they kind of, his heart came along to accepting them.
Yeah.
As people.
Well, we understand why your dad, after the war, would come back to UK. But now you said she was from around Owensboro. She's in Evansville. She goes to the war. How did she end up in Lexington?
Well, she was drawn to UK to finish her nurse's training.
Okay.
So that's what brought her to Lexington.
And that's where they met.
That's where they met.
All right.
One of the interesting things about their meeting, when they met and began to get to know one another, my mother introduced my dad to her brother, Warren, whom we call Podge. And Podge and Dad started to talk, and they realized that at the same time, Daddy was going up the boot of Italy with the 88th. My Uncle Podge was on the other side of Italy with his company going up the other side. So they never met, never crossed paths, but they were in the same place.
They were there
at the same
together.
Time.
Small world. So they fall in love, and do they get married right away, or do they decide to wait until they graduate? How does that work?
They married after they graduated,
okay.
I believe.
So he graduates with a law degree. She goes ahead and finishes her nursing degree, and they decide to set up housekeeping. Now, was that in Lexington?
Yes.
Okay.
It wasn't their first home, but the home that I was born in was in Meadowthorpe on Boiling Springs Drive.
Okay.
And my grandfather was also a developer at that time, developing in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So they ended up in Meadowthorpe.
Okay. Well, you brought up the fact that you were born in Meadowthorpe, and I know you have siblings who are older than you. So let's go through them before we go any further. So I'm assuming all of you guys were born then living in Lexington.
Right.
Okay. So give me the oldest. Tell me who that is. And while you're at it, mention spouse, kids. We want to make sure everybody gets talked about here. Who's the oldest child?
Okay. My oldest sister is Diane. Mm-hmm. And she was in eighth grade when we moved to Jessamine County. She married Earl Lou Allen from Wilmore, and he passed away some 10 years ago.
Wow.
But she was able to meet up with a high school friend, Stanley Gillespie.
Right. I think they graduated together.
They graduated together. In fact, he and his wife and Diane and Earl double dated when they were in high school, and even joked at one time, the boys did, if anything ever happens to me, you need to take good care of my girl here.
My goodness. And it happened.
Sure enough.
Because Earl and Stanley's wife, Elaine also
died. And then some years later, Earl died.
Yeah.
They started going out to lunch and just were made for each other.
Right, right.
And Diane has two children and five grandchildren and still lives in Wilmore.
Mm-hmm.
The next sister is Linda, and Linda married Ammon Coleman, who is one of the Muirs.
Okay, kin to Muir's family.
Betty Muir was his mother.
Okay, okay.
And they married and had two kids, and she married a couple other times and now lives in Florida and is married to Wayne Bumgardner, who's not from here.
I may be totally off base, but now you said Betty Muir. Was it Benny Coleman?
Benny was his dad.
His dad, really?
Yeah. Benny,
because I remember
dad.
Benny and Betty at the Country Kettle. Yes. Down on, not only on Main Street, but around on Oak Street, I think, right. is where it was when something, I believe he died first, maybe. But I did not realize that their son was married to your sister at one time. Isn't that amazing? Yes. And she lives where now?
In Florida.
In
now,
Florida.
With her, not with her daughter, but her daughter moved to Florida and had her first grandchild.
Good.
So Linda had to move down there and be by her grandchild. She also has a son that lives in Columbus.
Now, that's three. Is that all?
Well, there's another sister.
Oh, there's another sister.
There's three sisters.
Okay.
My sister Susan is a nurse that many people know as a float nurse at the Lexington Clinic.
Yeah.
Several people tell me every week that they've seen Susan at the Lexington Clinic.
Yeah.
She has two children and one grandchild and still lives here in Nicholasville working as a nurse. And then my brother is in Charleston. Mm-hmm. He left Nicholasville to go into the service when he was 17, married a girl from Charleston, and he's pretty much been there ever since. He has a couple of kids and three grandkids.
Okay.
And then I'm the youngest.
So there was five of you.
Five of us.
And you came along, 60?
58.
58. Oh, you're a little bit older than I thought you were.
Yeah, my sister Diane. And then there's 2 years to Linda and 2 years to Susan and 2 years to Donnie. And then 4 years later, this little surprise, Roger came along.
Well, tell us what you've been doing all these years since you graduated from Jessam County High.
Well, I attended Georgetown College and got my teaching degree.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, while I was at Georgetown College, I began leading the music at Silas Baptist Church in Bourbon County.
Mm-hmm.
And remained there after I graduated from Georgetown for three more years when I moved to Mount Freedom Baptist as the minister of music and was there for 14 and a half years.
Really? That long? Yes. I didn't realize that. In Wilmore.
Of course, at the time, looking for a teaching job, it took me several years to find a music teaching job because they aren't as abundant as the other types of positions. But I started teaching at Brookside Elementary in 84. And was there for 27 years.
Wow.
And I'm still substituting, so I've been employed by the Jessam County Board of Education for 35 years.
So you're probably teaching kids of kids.
Oh, yes.
You're probably way past that point, aren't you?
I call those grand students.
Well, that's great. Now we know about all the family. Tell me, you mentioned that Diane was eight when they came to Jessam County. What brought the Garrisons here?
Well, my dad started his law career in the Attorney General's office in Frankfort.
Yeah.
And was there for several years and then went into private practice with George Barker in Lexington. And Congressman John Watts was from Nicholasville.
Right.
And when he was elected to Congress in Washington, he wanted someone to run his Nicholasville office. So he contacted my dad.
Law office. Now, at that time, was he in with Bernard Monahan?
Yes, I believe it was Monahan and Watts.
Maybe right up here on Court Row, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that's right. And that would have been before Bernard was a federal judge. He was still practicing attorney. Law, okay.
Yes. It was 61 when Congressman Watts asked my dad to come to Nicholasville, and the office was on the corner of First Street and Maple.
Okay.
And that became Watson Garrison, and Daddy ran that office until John Watts retired and then went into private practice
now,
of his own.
Which corner is it, Roger?
Well, he was actually on the corner where the Blakeman Tax Service was,
that house there. Yes, and for those people who are up to date, John Tranter now is an attorney in that building, that little white house next to the Christian Church.
Yes.
Okay.
At one time in his profession, he moved across the corner there to the brick building on the corner, and down First Street later in a home behind this office here.
Yeah, going toward Nicholasville Baptist Church down that way. Yeah, okay. But now, not only was he an attorney, though, am I wrong? Was he like a police judge or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, take us down those roads.
Well, if you don't mind, let me tell you one more story about coming to Nicholasville.
Oh, yeah,
My sister told me that they were all in school and I wasn't. So I came with Mom and Dad on moving day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the job of my father's sister, Florida, to pick up the kids at school and bring them to Nicholasville.
Okay.
And especially the older ones, Diane and Linda, just thought their life was over. They were leaving Lexington and going to this little town.
And then poor Diane ends up in Wilmore.
Right. So,
not poor Diane. I don't want to make it sound like that. I'm talking about the size of the town.
Oh, yes. But my Aunt Florida, we called her Folly. She lived in Lexington and worked for the Associated Press. And she was not married and spent a lot of time with us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But she had been delegated to bring the children to Nicholasville that day. And Nicholasville seemed very far away from their school and their friends.
Sure.
So they were all crying on the trip down. And Folly pulled off at the dish barn and gave them the talk. Their parents had been working very hard on this move, and they must not show up crying. It was pretty dramatic, my sister Linda said. So she stopped and whipped the kids into shape and delivered them to the home. It was on the 19th of December, and not only did Mom have the job of getting the house unpacked with five children, all of her family were coming to visit
for
and
Christmas.
Stay in the new home for
oh,
Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
plus her work. I mean, she was torn 14,000 ways there.
She was at Central Baptist at that time as a nurse.
Now, where was that house?
On the corner of Broadway and 3rd Street.
Okay. Now, eventually, did you all not end up over around the Natchez Trace area?
Yes,
okay.
We did.
But this was the first time Broadway and 3rd, you said?
Broadway
all
and
right.
3rd.
Okay.
When we moved there, one of the first families we met across the street was Catherine and Chocolate or Julius Blankenship.
Sure, sure.
And Mom felt like, Catherine and Mom felt like they had some kind of connection. And when they were looking through Catherine's oldest son, John's baby book, they realized that Mom was in the delivery room when Catherine gave birth
really?
To John.
And that's how they figured it out.
And we ended up across the street from each
Isn't
other.
Isn't that amazing?
And then later, when we did move to Natchez Trace, the Blankenships had already moved over there, so we lived next door to them when we
just
moved
couldn't
to
get away from them.
Natchez Trace.
Good people, the Blankenships. So they come to Jessam County. He sets up his practice. She's working at Central Baptist, you said.
Yes.
And I guess go ahead with his life as far as going in to being more of an attorney and even a judge.
Yes, he was, like I said, took the responsibility mm-hmm. of running John Watts' mm-hmm. office. And one thing about that, John Watts was eligible for a secretary to be in his home office.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady from Washington, D.C., named Betty Revelle, came to Nicholasville to be my dad's secretary.
Yeah.
And I was young, but she was fingernails and jewelry and coiffed hair and makeup. More so than what we'd seen around Nicholasville at that time. And I just thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world.
Right.
But I later found out that she wasn't even Daddy's secretary. She was John Watts' secretary. But he became the Nicholasville police judge.
Mm-hmm. Which we don't have anymore, folks. That was in the old days.
And it was in the early 60s.
Yeah.
And the city hall was across from the Parachute Building on Oak Street,
right.
where
Off
the Cheer place
right.
is right now.
Right.
I remember that Daddy would take me down on Saturday mornings, and he would have court.
Mm-hmm.
And there were certain individuals that would always be there in jail on Saturday morning.
Sure.
And these fellas would come before Daddy and say, "Oh, Judge, I'm not going to do it again." And Daddy, bless his heart, would say, "Okay, time served, and I don't want to see you here next Saturday morning." But next Saturday morning,
there they
would be. So.
For those people who may be somewhat newer in our community, the building you're talking about, which is between Central Bank and the Hager and Cunda Funeral Home, at that time was City Hall. It was the fire department. It was the police department. I mean, it was everything for the city of Nicholasville. And the building that he referred to, the Parachute Factory, is gone now. It's a parking lot. But that, in later years, well, in fact, at the end of its life, was the home of the volunteer fire department for our county. But yes, not only was it a Parachute Factory, there's a roller rink upstairs on the second floor at one time. But that's the area that he's talking about. The police judge, now, was that appointed or elected? Do you know?
I'm really not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. And that's something I need to try to figure out, how he would have acquired that. Because if that was in the 60s, I'm assuming Woody Groh was probably the mayor about that time, leading up to the 70s with Shelby Combs. So, I that'd be interesting to find out how.
He followed Judge Brumfield in that
Russell
position.
Russell Brumfield, yeah. Of course, Russell at that time, I guess, I'm trying to figure out the timeline. He was a county judge at that time, and that was before we had the court system as we know it today. Back then, if you got a ticket, you didn't go into the courthouse, into that kind of courtroom like you do now. You went in front of the county judge or the police judge. How long did he do that, Roger?
It was at least 4 years.
Okay.
I'm not really positive, but
now,
at least 4 years.
Once that was over, was the rest of his life attorney only?
No, he ran for district court.
Okay.
And I'm not positive of the date of this one, but he ran for district court and he did not win the election, but the district court that the judge that won put him on as a trial commissioner. So he served as a trial commissioner for the district court.
And that may have been Judge Cornett. I could have that wrong, but yes. And trial commissioners.
I'm thinking Vanover, maybe.
It could have been Roger Vanover. But the trial commissioner is very important because sometimes if the judge is not available or out of town or whatever, the trial commissioner can step in, do a lot of that same work for him. So, yeah, very important position.
A big part of his job was listening to interviews in divorce cases. He would bring home boxes of cassettes and sit and listen to the interviews of the participants in a divorce case and then offer his opinion to the judge.
Okay. All right.
That was a big part of his
job. Yeah, of course, that's all changed too. When did we lose your dad?
1990.
Now, what about your mom? First off, when did she pass?
2007.
Okay, so quite a bit, quite a long time
ago.
After. She could retire as a nurse, I'm assuming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, she worked for Dr. Williams at one point here in the community.
Which was right down in that same area of buildings where you're talking about City Hall. Dr. Williams' office was right in there.
It was right there.
And she was a nurse for him and at Central Baptist. What department was she in up there?
In Central Baptist, she was in maternity.
Yeah.
You know,
But
another story about that, she was actually working at Central Baptist, pregnant with Diane, of course, mm-hmm. before we moved to Nicholasville, mm-hmm. when Earl Llewellyn was born.
I tell you what, it was just a lot of things were meant to be in your all's family.
I believe so.
I think it was. They came down, and I know that in addition to being attorneys and being nurse, they had an outside life too. Now, we talked about your mom and being involved in the church, and she played piano. Did she play organ too, I guess? Or did she?
Yes, she did.
And being involved. What kind of outside activities for your dad? What did he enjoy?
He liked to go to Keeneland.
Yeah.
You know, he took our whole family from the time we were very young. Uh-huh. He would go to Keeneland and he would give each of the kids $2 and we could either make a bet with that or go buy something with it. And back then you could buy something for $2.
Right.
But, I always gave my $2 to him and lost it. But that was one of the things he enjoyed.
Cool. And something you of course always remember.
Yes.
Which brings up another question. And I've asked this many times on the show. As a dad, how would you describe your dad in a couple of words?
He was honest. And he taught me that by watching him in his practice. Mm-hmm. He was kind to others and generous. I remember one time that he accepted a basset hound in lieu of his fee for a case that he was working on. And he often did that for people. I remember one time my mom and he had a discussion about another attorney's fees. Mm-hmm. And mom said, "He charges a lot more for that than you do, Brad." And Brad said, "I just can't do that to my clients."
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I one time had a discussion with my dad, and I told him, I said, your artwork and your framing is too cheap. You're not charging what I know they're charging in Lexington, especially, and other places. And it's amazing you said that, because he looked at me and he said, "I think it's fair, and I'm satisfied, and I've raised my family with it." What else can you say to that, you know? Yeah. And it sounds a lot like they were a lot alike in that area, in that they were comfortable in doing the job of what they thought was fair for the people that came to them. And you can't ask for any more than that, really. What about your mom? A couple of words to describe her.
Oh, she was a jewel. Yeah. She was an avid reader, always willing to reach out and help people. She volunteered for the Red Cross at one time and taught a Bosnian family how to speak English.
Really?
She was in Homemakers. She enjoyed Bridge Club. I'll always remember the Bridge Club meetings. And if you're not aware of what that is, it's several ladies that take turns going from home to home, like Bunko is today. Mm-hmm. And I would remember walking in and all those ladies, well, there's little Roger. And they'd stop their bridge game and speak to me. And she was always giving and helping others. She was on the teen center board at one point. And I wasn't a teen, but I'll never forget that she allowed me to come to the teen center that they had created. The teen center board created a teen center in what was the old bakery where City Hall sits now.
Sure. Oh, yeah, where the big smokestack is.
Yeah. And they took a room or two in that building and painted the walls black and put up black light posters. And they had music for the kids, and the teens were allowed to come in there and hang out.
Yeah.
And I got to go, even though I wasn't a teen, because mom was on the board. Right. Wayne Hayden was on that board too, I remember.
Really?
And that was a neat thing, the teen center.
I don't even know that a lot of people would remember that even being around. And be honest with you, I don't know that I even heard of it before. So we're going back quite a ways on something like that. Very nice people. The best thing I remember about your dad, he's very soft-spoken. I remember that. He wasn't loud at all. And his speech and his tone was always, to me, from what I remember, and she was too. Just very kind, very nice people. It looked like they went well together.
They did a good job raising five kids, and we all turned out pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Any other interesting stories there you want to add before our time is almost up? But go ahead.
Just a few things about Dad's law practice. Mm-hmm. He represented the school board, the local school board, during the time of integration. I wish I had talked to him about that more while he was living, because I found that out basically after he was gone, and some things that I found out. He was also on retainer for Southern Railway here in the county.
Okay.
And if you enjoyed the drag strip back in the day, you can thank my dad. He was the attorney for the drag strip when they had a public hearing at the courthouse to keep us from having that drag strip. There were 55 petitioners seeking to revoke the drag strip operating permit, but some 189 residents signed a petition to keep the strip in the present location. And Daddy,
he was the attorney.
He was the attorney for that suit.
And here again, we need to explain kind of where this is for some of our new listeners. If you're going up Nixville Road, right across the road from Kohl's, there is a slew of businesses back down. But if you look down that way, be careful when you're driving, you can actually see what was the drag strip. And yes, they actually did drag race there. It was organized, and gosh, it seemed like Sunday afternoons you went by, everybody was there. But that's where he's talking about. So he was the attorney that helped keep it here. People, I guess, wanting to shut it down.
That's true.
Amazing.
And I'm pretty sure as a result of that, we got some free tickets here and there to go to the drag strip.
I'd say you probably did. That's interesting. He had an interesting career and contributed a lot to our county and in his business and his life. Well, believe it or not, our time is gone. It goes quick, doesn't it?
Sure does.
It's not long enough to talk about your folks, but we want to, in somewhat of a nutshell, talk about them and who they were, because I know a lot of people will remember them, both your dad and your mom, for different reasons, but very nice people, and I'm very glad that they decided. I'm glad it worked out that they could come down here, because not only them, but I mean you and your family, especially yourself and Diane and Linda and Susan, because Don's been gone for quite a while. But you guys have contributed so much. Heck, you've been in our school system for 30 plus years and so many kids. Roger and I are involved in the local old time radio thing. And it was really, I'll tell this story. Last Christmas, we had a show and we had some students from Brookside, the choir, to come and sing at the show. And it was very interesting because they came down one night to kind of do a run through with us. And back on the back wall, we have pictures of our troop members. And of course, Roger's there. And the first thing those kids did when they came in was saw that picture. Oh, there's Mr. Garrison. And they were so excited to see you up on that wall. And I know a lot of kids just so much enjoy having had you in school and still as a substitute, but you've made a great contribution to our school system, Roger, and it's just like your parents have to our town.
Thank you, Doug. I did what I loved at Brookside, and it was not a job. I thoroughly enjoyed my career there.
And there's a lot of people that unfortunately can't say that. So anytime you can leave this world knowing you've done what you loved, you're pretty lucky. And I think your mom and dad did that too. From what I know, they did what they loved.
I believe they did.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
My thanks to Roger for coming in this morning and telling us a little more about his mom and dad and their contributions to our community. We appreciate you coming in also. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11, and I hope you'll tune me in on my regular show. I'm here every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.